This is the Middle Chamber Books Podcast, Episode 14, for Memorial Day Weekend, 2008. Hello and welcome to the Middle Chamber Books Podcast. In this special episode for Memorial Day Weekend, we'll speak with Brett Michaels. He's a California-based singer-songwriter who is making a name for himself and making waves on MySpace.com and on his own website, BrettMichaels.com, where he's selling his music. His new CD is called Deep Enough. And we'll talk about the differences in trying to sell your music yourself through the web instead of working with a record company the good old-fashioned traditional way. Hello and welcome to the Middle Chamber Books Podcast, brought to you by Go To My PC. I'm Steve Lubetkin, the bookseller at Middle Chamber Books. I'm your host for these podcasts, in which we talk about books, authors, and other creative artists. Our bookstore is an Amazon.com associate. We're located at MiddleChamberBooks.com. We'll get to our conversation with Brett Michaels right after this message from our sponsor. Well, here's the problem. Most business professionals have tried connecting to their office PCs from another location, but setup can be a nightmare. Now, there's a solution, and it's great news. With GoToMyPC, you don't have to be an IT expert to access your office PC from anywhere. GoToMyPC takes just 2 minutes to set up. You just create an account and then automatically download GoToMyPC. It's that easy. You can immediately start accessing your office PC from any computer. Log on to gotomypc.com and your office desktop instantly appears. You work with all your files and programs as if you were right there. And because of our special sponsorship arrangement, you can try GoToMyPC free today for 30 days. Just visit gotomypc.com/podcast. That's gotomypc, all one word, .com/podcast, and you'll get a free 30-day trial. Now to our program. Brett Michaels is a California-based singer-songwriter. He was born in Germany and says he pretty much ran amok as a military brat until landing in Los Angeles in the early 1980s. His music echoes early influences. The one that stood out when I listened to his tracks was John Denver. He also claims the Eagles and Joni Mitchell as influences, and also more contemporary musicians like John Mayer, Seal, and Sarah McLachlan. Let's start our program with a track from Brett Michaels' newest CD, Deep Enough. This is called Unlikely Me. You're listening to the Middle Chamber Books Podcast.
It's been quite some time since I've been charmed, or maybe since I let myself be. Meeting you was so unexpected, it took me by surprise to see. The pain and the loss, old and distant love, that really had a hold on me, had lost its grip and broken free. I yet didn't know you turned the key. You're an angel, unlikely messenger. You came along and you turned the key. You're an angel, unlikely messenger. You set me free. You reached right out and took my hand and smiled at me and put me at ease. And it dawned on me, you're a girl and I'm a boy. I'd forgotten what that really means. But the pain and the loss, old and distant love, really had a hold on me, had lost its grip and I'm broken free. It was you who finally turned the key. You're an angel, unlikely messenger. You came along and you turned the key. You're an angel, unlikely messenger. You set me free. And I thank you for what you did. Probably wouldn't understand, but I got the message loud and clear as soon as you touched my hand. But I have to admit, oh, somewhat sheepishly, it's not like me to fall that fast.
Brett Michaels. Welcome to the Middle Chamber Books Podcast.
Thank you, sir.
It's great to be with you, and I love the music. And why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started in it? You were born in Germany. You spent some time as what you describe as a military brat. And then what happened?
My parents bought me a guitar, and that was it. we kind of been all over the states over the years, moving around, and I played different instruments, and you know, as I was growing up, and once my parents bought me a guitar, that was pretty much the end of the beginning, shall we say.
What was it about guitar that just captivated your attention?
You know, I really couldn't say, other than it was much more expressive. There was more I could do more with the guitar than I could than the trombone or any other stuff that I had been playing when I was younger. And I suppose it just, you know, sort of a primal thing for a kid who was always a big fan of music. And my folks always had music that was kind of rock and roll based playing around the house anyways. They had Simon Garfunkel, they had Moody Blues, and all that kind of stuff going on. So, you know, I guess it just was a natural extension.
Now, did you have formal training? Did you take lessons, or how did you get into it?
Yeah, I took a couple of lessons here and there, and when I was younger, it took some time off, and went back to it, and then, I got to admit that a lot of what came to me was more from just listening and experimenting on my own.
And so a lot of your the artists that you sort of regard as influences are soft rock and folk artists like the Eagles, Joni Mitchell. My impression when I first started listening to your tracks was John Denver was a big influence.
Right, absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's what was playing around the house. That was on the radio, and it was a big part of the beginning of my musical experience, I should say.
And you've embraced, to a significant extent, the online distribution of music, which is sort of, you know, the rebel approach. I mean, most of the mainstream record companies still haven't quite figured out how to deal with the online world. What's been any kind of reaction or feedback you get from other musicians? There are a lot of people jumping into this kind of approach to music.
Well, you know, the whole internet thing has totally leveled the playing field for all of us. It allows us to be able to reach people all over the world. I don't know how else I'd reach people in, you know, Russia or, you know, France without going there, you know, and not having the major record label budget to fly over there or promote over there. You know, really, the big thing for me has been MySpace, to be quite honest. It's been something that people just kind of seek out music, and it's where people can go look for music based on genre, or, you know, they can just kind of search around and find stuff that they really enjoy. And it makes it so that we, you know, those of us who aren't with a major label can make a living and earn a living by, you know, putting out our music, and it more or less finds its way where years ago it was harder to do so.
Years ago, people had to bring records, and they actually brought vinyl or CDs later on to concerts and sold them. They still do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you lived in a small town, or if you were in a smaller country, a lot of acts just wouldn't make it to you, you know, because it's hard for small acts and independent acts and upcoming acts to just fly over to Europe or, you know, hit the road and have product and be able to get it into the stores. And you know, that's why the traditional model with the record labels worked for their artists. But, you know, anybody who was not signed to a deal definitely had a little bit of a struggle. And it's, and to a degree, it still is. We still have to compete with those with million-dollar budgets. But you know, fans of music of all types, you know, I'm able to get on the internet and find stuff that I wouldn't ordinarily find, and it's just, I think it's a great thing all the way around. Yeah, I think the major labels have not embraced it. They haven't figured out a way to try and, well, quite frankly, I don't think they've decided to join it. They still keep trying to beat it, but I think it's a futile effort.
When you have a significant following in MySpace, does that lead to greater recognition among people when you go out touring?
It can be. Yeah. It is nice. You know, I'll get a random person from, you know, someplace. Something happened about a month ago. Somebody from northeast Portland. Somebody that I knew ran into somebody at a shop, and they were playing my CD in the car, and they said they'd heard of me, and it was kind of cool that, you know, and I don't know how, I don't know where, and yeah, I don't even know who the person was. It was just sort of random, and that sort of thing is I think a huge, it's hugely, you know, owed to the internet. I mean, because the MySpace community itself is—I don't even know how many millions of people are on there, but you know, they're able to find stuff, and you know, if they happen to see something they like, or for that matter, if they see a band like, let's say, the Counting Crows, you know, and they go to their fan sites, and their fans tend to have other stuff that's similar. It's just, it's a way of kind of seeking it out, and yeah, you're absolutely right. I do have people who have found me through that when I don't know how else they would have.
Right. I want to talk a little bit, Brett, about some of the songs. You have several of your compositions available for download. And I wonder if I name one, if you could describe to me your thoughts about the song, you know, the nature of how you came to write it, that sort of thing.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Shoot.
I'm just reading right off of the website, and the first one up there is Deep Enough. What's the backstory there?
Well, that's just sort of, I think the song itself is fairly self-explanatory. It sort of highlights a struggle a lot of us have. I've had, and many people that I know have had, that it's just really difficult to face something down and actually change something in your life, whatever it may be. And, you know, we all have a tendency, not we all, but many of us have a tendency to sort of sweep things under the rug or put them in the closet and expect that they're going to go away, or maybe think that we'll be stronger when we get back to them next time. But in essence, that doesn't happen. And it sort of sabotages anything from careers to relationships to, you know, all kinds of things. So I think that's the basic idea behind that song.
Learned as a young child this way of dealing with the parts of life that you don't like. So you created a space deep inside where you could pack it all away. It'll never see the light of day. But it's never deep enough. No, it's never deep enough to disappear. And the walls you first built were only so strong, but not enough to hold a lifetime buried. The walls a little stronger, so you could dig a little deeper, dig a little deeper still. But it's never deep enough. No, it's never deep enough. How to disappear. Your guard come down. How you want it outside? You got your feet on the ground. You never love so deep. You never live so alive like you did when you were with me. You got got scared and shut down. You went back inside. You said life can't be. It can't be as easy as it seems. Well, you can run and you can hide, but you can't escape yourself. No. You know because you've tried.
Which of these tracks is your personal favorite? Which is the one that you'd like to see really take off?
I would like anyone or all of them.
Aside from all of the above, right?
All of the above.
What's a personal favorite, though?
Well, I like to sing "Disconnected." It's one that has just got a nice feel to it. It seems to be the one that most people have responded to, so I definitely enjoy that.
Is there space in your life for me? Or am I just wasting time? There's always something on your mind, but only sometimes it's about me. Talk and talk the whole night through till there's nothing left for me to do but hang up the phone and feel empty, disconnected, all alone without you. Empty, out, disconnected. One more thing I've got to get through. Every now and then there's a little time for me, but it comes and goes so fast. You know it's hard to enjoy myself looking at you when I know it's not gonna last. We talk and talk the whole night through till there's nothing left for me to do but hang up the phone and feel empty and disconnected, all alone without you. Empty, out, disconnected. Take
Let It Go is another one I think that I would really like to see kind of get out there, because it's got a good message. I think it says a lot about philosophies that I sort of subscribe to and in life. So I'd be really happy if that one found its way.
I just let go inside the first time in a very long time. Now I pray for no consequence, but I won't hide this time, no. 'Cause life begins right here, the place I've always feared, yeah. So breathe in, let it go, don't think so much anymore. System moon, though I can't claim my innocence, but I won't hide from myself. 'Cause life begins right here, the place I've always feared.
Are you out touring much, or are you just working the internet these days?
Right now, I'm writing with a female R&B singer by the name of Corinne Lapidot, and a couple other artists that I have written for, and I'm also working on stuff for new record, and you know, just been I'm back in town. I'm developing a couple other ideas, and I have a few things working with TV and film, which we're hoping to take off, and then back out on the road probably late summer, go back over to Europe and travel around a little bit, do some shows and some radio as well.
Now, you were born in Germany. A lot of American artists tend to find greater success and recognition outside the U.S. first. A number of rock bands have started their careers that way, another number of other musicians, performers, name them all the way back to Josephine Baker in the 20s. Have you got a sense that there's a bigger appetite overseas than there is here?
I don't think so much. I mean, I suppose it's true, but I haven't really seen that. I think I've been very well received over there, but I think with the upshot of the internet, there's also the downside, which is, you know, saturation. Everybody is heard anywhere, and so I don't think that the European markets and you know, the other parts of the world are as starved for American acts as they once were. But nevertheless, you know, whenever I get to go overseas, it's always amazing, and people are so generous and so, you know, gracious. So I think we're just lucky to be received so well over there.
Okay, well, great. Brett, thanks very much for being with us on the podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed this Middle Chamber Books podcast brought to you by GoToMyPC. Don't forget the free 30-day trial of GoToMyPC by visiting gotomypc.com/podcast. If you have comments or suggestions about our podcasts, please email me at steve@middlechamberbooks.com. You can also send us an audio comment. We'll use it in a future podcast. Send us an MP3 file or call our podcast comment line. In the U.S., 856-861-6146. Be sure to use the +1 in front of that. Or in the U.K., in Europe, it's +44-020-7193-6146. Our theme music for this podcast is Cook the Books from the Indianapolis Jazz Orchestra. It's one of the PodSafe music selections you'll find at GarageBand.com. We produce these programs in the studios of Professional Podcasts in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. This is Steve Lubetkin. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.